Hello and welcome to Microsoft Ignite here in Chicago. We're at the Channel 9 booth here. I'm joined by Joel Furman, Dick Van Brummen, CTO of SAS Plaza, Joel, Group Manager in the Cloud and Enterprise Group, and I'm Matt McSpirit, Technical Evangelist for all things in the data center. Now, Joel, I'd like to start with you in terms of questions. I'm hearing more and more, particularly as I go around the booth, over to the business, or what I knew as the business continuity booth, I'm hearing more and more about something called availability on demand. Now, it must be getting popular, because I have a sticker, which was kindly slapped onto my laptop earlier on my Surface.
I wonder who did that.
Yes, exactly. I did spot them running off in that direction. Tell us about availability on demand and what it means for people at home.
Sure. So it's really the connection of Azure into a customer's data center. So it's all about how does a customer leverage a cloud. So all of our customers want to use the cloud, but it's how do you get there? So it's easy to spin up a net new application in the cloud, but it's very challenging to get an existing running business process into the cloud, especially with no downtime or data loss. What we do is through Azure Site Recovery and Azure Backup is we create a connection into the cloud so that customers can get their data into the cloud seamlessly and then leverage additional services in a suite on top of that.
Right.
So they can do dev tests, they can do cloud bursting, they can do cloud migration, and it doesn't matter what their underlying infrastructure is. So they could have VMware, they could have Hyper-V, they could have physical infrastructure, and we can supplant all of that and put it in Azure and run it seamlessly as if it were running on premises.
Okay, so there was a lot of stuff covered there.
And absolutely.
Yeah, that was a blistering overview of the whole product, and we're done.
Yeah, yeah.
when we think about some of those scenarios that you mentioned there. Let's focus on site recovery.
Sure.
Because there's multiple elements to availability on demand, backup, site recovery, and more. If we focus on that site recovery angle, within that you mentioned a number of scenarios. Mm-hmm. Dev test, migration, bursting, recovery, reporting, and analytics.
Yep.
Break some of those down for us a little bit more and help us
Sure.
understand what are the key elements, the benefits of each of those. Help us understand that.
Absolutely. So when we have a customer migrate their data into Azure or essentially connect into Azure, we feel that having additional services, having to replicate that data over and over and over or use multiple clouds to instantiate new services on top of that data doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So what we do is we have one solution set for our customers, which is Azure Site Recovery as a part of Azure Availability on Demand. And essentially they can connect in. And once they have that connection into Azure with Azure Site Recovery, they're able to stand up services on top of that. So
right.
essentially, I'm going to replicate my data into Azure for disaster recovery or for dev test. Now once that data is in Azure, I'm now able to do anything I want with it. So for example, if we take dev test, I can replicate my data into Azure and I can stand up an instance identical to that instance running on premises, and I can beat it up, I can install patches, I can see what it's going to look like and how it's going to run, and then I can actually fail over that production workload and have it actually run in the cloud, or I can actually fail it back onto the on premises in its native format and have that take over and actually run seamlessly as that new patched version or as that new version 2.0 or what have you.
Okay.
Same bit general principle for recovery. If I'm replicating that data into Azure, anytime I want, I can associate compute to that replicated data. So if I have some sort of a disaster, or I have some sort of recovery, or if I throw a table in a database and I need to stand up a net new instance of that, it's just one click recovery and we have an automated system and an automated process that will actually do application consistent recoveries and it will actually run very complex scripts that will automate the process. You can inject customized scripts in that process as well too, and it will seamlessly stand that application up into the cloud.
Okay, so just again breaking that down for people in a bit more, people are used to Azure Site Recovery as
just
a site recovery tool.
Just DR,
the name kind of gives the game away. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's for site recovery, right? What you're saying there is actually it could be used for site recovery and is a great solution for that. And
we'll
talk more about how Dick's using it within their environment a bit later on. But you're saying that, okay, even if I'm just doing a small subset of my on-premises workloads, I could use this site recovery technology to get my workloads into Azure, replicating while they're still running on-prem.
Correct.
So no downtime for them as such. Push them into Azure in terms of replicated data. It sits in the recovery vault where it's held, and then we could bring them up online if we wanted to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's from a dev test example. Mm-hmm. Tell us about bursting, cloud bursting specifically, not just general bursting.
Absolutely, absolutely. So once you have that data, again, in the cloud, and that's really our key, we are the connective tissue from the on-premises workload into the cloud. Once you have that in the cloud, in our user interface, it's literally one click, and you can choose which template you want to instantiate that workload in.
Right.
So as you have ebbs and flows in your business, or let's say you want to offshoot an additional copy of a version to run analytics and reporting against, you merely select which template you want to run that on, and we'll automatically say, hey, we think this should be an A2 or an A4, but then you can crank that up to any template available in your geo. So in literally one click, you can actually expand the size of that compute, and instead of having that on-premise workload that would be constrained by the size of that physical infrastructure it was on or that virtual infrastructure it was on, we can actually expand that out into any size, and you can leverage the full scalability of Azure. In terms
just using Azure IaaS for the period of time you need it to crunch those numbers or process that workload and then turn it off and replicate back to on-prem.
Or continue to run it in Azure seamlessly. So it gives you that seamless back and forth capability of really leveraging and experiencing hybrid cloud with ease.
That makes sense. Now, you mentioned migration as well. How can a site recovery tool be used for migration? Explain that to
good
us.
Question.
Because we've got some history with migration. I don't mean you and I mean Microsoft in general. We've got a number of tools that people can choose from. Is this the future of our migration portfolio for migrating workloads?
Correct, into Azure, that's the caveat. So this is the canonical tool for migrating assets into Azure. So regardless, again, of your underlying infrastructure, if you're physical, virtual, regardless of the hypervisor, Hyper-V, or VMware, we'll take that asset, we'll convert it on the fly, and push that into Azure, and it's a very simple process. So we have blogs posted up. I just did one a couple of weeks ago as well, too. So if you type in availability on demand migration, you'll be able to actually see the whole process end to end. Pulling in and pulling up the whole tree structure of vCenter, and you just literally select the VMs you want to push into Azure, you click go, and that's it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. So we actually show the whole process in under 30 seconds in a recorded demo on our website.
Okay.
So it's really easy, really easy.
So what that was going to be my next question, actually, is we focused a lot on Microsoft, naturally, but you called out VMware there, vCenter specifically. So how did that come about into Azure Site Recovery? Is that something Microsoft has built, or is that how is this engineered?
Sure. So I actually came from a company. I came through an acquisition last July of a company called InMaj.
Right.
And at InMaj, we specialize in this, you know, any-to-any type of scenario for disaster recovery, and we powered large providers like SunGuard and Siphy, Windstream, and a whole host of others. And so our technology had been highly leveraged by a lot of these cloud providers and DR providers.
Yep.
And so we kind of came in with that first-party solution that already supported this technology, and now that's become a critical part of Azure Site Recovery. And so what we're able to do is essentially just type in the IP address of a vCenter instance, type in a username and password for that vCenter instance, and it's just read-only account, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, and we automatically auto-discover all the instances in that environment, same for physical as well too. So we can auto-discover all those instances, and it's as easy as just selecting what you want to actually push into the cloud and click go. It's very, very cut and dry.
But the migration element of that, so that is that one way? Do we put any blocker for somebody going back? How would I differentiate migration to DR and replicating back?
So it's all kind of 6 to 1, half dozen to another, right? So all these use cases, to a certain extent, are disaster recovery. I mean, essentially what you're doing is you're replicating on-premise data into the cloud, and then you have the ability to fail over and fail back. And in fact, we give our customers and prospects 31 days, it's just built into the product, 31 days for free to use this product. So if you've got a dev cycle that's 29 days or 30 days or 2 weeks, you actually never pay for the Azure Site Recovery licenses. So for migrations, for dev tests, for analytics reporting, for a lot of these use cases, the actual Azure Site Recovery portion of it is free, and you only pay for the Azure consumption that you use. So it's a very compelling solution in that regard.
Okay, so that's good. So I'd like to bring in Dick from SAS Plaza here. So Dick, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for being here.
And can you tell us a little bit about your role at the company, and also tell us about SAS Plaza as well?
Well, SAS Plaza, as a company, first me, I'm Dick van Brummen, I'm CTO of SAS Plaza. And if we look at SAS Plaza is focusing on the Microsoft Dynamics world, and we are being the number one cloud provider in that area. And it brings a lot of responsibility. We want to be frontier, and that's why we adopt very early all new technologies like ASR, like migrating scenarios and dev test scenarios.
Okay, so tell us a bit about your infrastructure. What do you have within your data center or data centers? How many do you have? Where are they located?
Well, basically we have private clouds, which are our own data centers. We have two of them in EMEA, and we have two in America, and we have one in APAC.
Right.
And next to those private clouds, We also leverage on Azure data centers in many countries like China, Australia, and also EMEA and America. So it's a matter of where the customer wants to land their application. And if we look how we do that, we've built an enterprise service bus which provides a layer on top of Azure or the private cloud. So we can really give a seamless experience to the customer to deploy services. And we do that in an automated manner. And that's why my interest in very early time already, I spoke with Manoj and said, listen, if you guys are ready, I'm one of the first to obtain that technology.
So that's ASR specifically?
Yes, correct.
So tell us a little bit about how much and how you use ASR across some of the scenarios that you use it for internally.
Yeah, let me go two steps back and tell a little bit about, say, the old-fashioned disaster recovery, mm-hmm. right? Whereas, basically, a disaster never happened, right? I mean, people were thinking about floodings, people were thinking about bombings, and all those horrible scenarios, they never happened. So the classical way of having a DR infrastructure is very expensive. You will almost never use it. And you have second data center with a complete stack there with storage, compute, everything is there. And it's not used, right? So if you look to the cost benefactor there, we can say, you can downsize the costs by 70-80% if you have ASR in place. And now, on ASR, and I'm glad they don't really use a disaster recovery because it's really recovering an application, right? Which is much more powerful because you can do it for several reasons, as just mentioned, right? So if I, especially nowadays where you have more and more security updates, you want to test the environment before really rolling out those updates. So if we can have a dev test environment spin up very easily, within minutes, we can do the testing before pushing those loads to production workloads, whereas really in critical processes are supported. For instance, we have a customer who is providing kidneys and hearts, and especially to hospitals with just-in-time delivery. Just imagine if that process is not working. Patients are dying in hospitals. And a lot of engineers often don't look at that right that way. They're more on the technology front. So I'm quite surprised by the incredible, solution ASR is bringing to us, because it really fits, say, the high automation standards we are having already in place for automation, for really ERP global support, for, say, having all those workloads available for customers. So it's really a good add-on.
So do you... You mentioned you've got quite a few data centers geographically spread across the world. Do you use the ASR elements and technologies to replicate and recover just to Azure or between your sites as well? Or is to Azure your primary goal?
Well, the primary goal for now is to have, say, ASR in place for all our private clouds. So we started off in America, where we implemented ExpressRoute.
Okay.
We are doing that right now in APAC, and a week ago, ExpressRoute was launched in EMEA. So we will have in all our clouds ExpressRoute available. And the reason for that is that we're very operating at a high scale, right? So it's not a customer who has one application with, for instance, 10, 20 servers who wants to push it to ASR. They don't need ExpressRoute. But we're talking about thousands of VMs in our end, which we have to replicate. Not only that, but we also have a lot of front-end applications running in Azure. For instance, tablet applications mm-hmm. for automotive sector, where you have a connection to the back office systems which are running in our private cloud, real hybrid scenarios. And you want reliability there on latency, on quality, because that's where you stand for as a company.
Okay. So if we go back to migration a second, though, so you're hosting a lot of different workloads for clients, a lot of infrastructure for them with Dynamics and so on. If you're thinking about utilizing ASR for migration is a one-way operation from A to B, A being on-premises private cloud in this case, B being Azure. Is that not a threat to your infrastructure business, your private clouds that you offer to your customers?
Yeah, I got a lot of questions like this. Being an old classic, like 15 years ago, hosting service provider. where you're relying on the margin you're making on the exploitation of the hardware layer. So we see that currently as the cookie cutter business, right? So either you have a very good scenario to go to a niche market area where you can really create your margin again. Because nowadays, basically Azure, like other, say, competing products in the market, are the ones who can really exploit those infrastructures much better, get more aggressive pricing, and it doesn't make sense for me to focus on the infrastructure. So whereas now we see a 20% Azure, 80% on-premise split, or private cloud, I am pretty sure as CTO for SaaS Plaza that we'll end up within the next 2-3 years where it will be 70% Azure and 30% private cloud, which means this software is coming at the most perfect time for me because it will downsize my migration costs and I can very easy spin up all different kind of workloads, being Navision workloads for Ford, which is a big customer of us with dealer management software, where thousands of dealers rely on our cloud, right? So if we have a very good automated migration scenario there, you know, ASR is helping me for the second time today.
Okay, so you mentioned migration, you mentioned DevTest, DR, and you also mentioned using Azure Express Route, which is very important. Talk to us about your uses of the SQL availability, so SQL Server.
So if we look in our workloads, we have, I think, close between 4,000 and 5,000 VMs running, right? So for Navision, for AX. And we, again, have to rely heavily on, say, the high availability, which we can create together with ASR on SQL workloads. And if you look to data usage, and data is growing like every year at an incredible pace. So, you know, the future problems will be around getting enough IOPS and enough capacity to fulfill the customer workloads, really. So it's truly essential for us to really have, if you look to ASR and also to SQL workloads, to have that really highly optimized together with ASR and really use Azure in a most optimal way.
Okay.
So Dick, you're using ASR in a pretty advanced capacity. How long did it take you and your team to ramp up to it and start to use it in this manner?
Well, I must say that you know, the biggest problem or challenge is basically the delivery of the express route by a third-party vendor, to be honest, right? They take their very log telco companies, which takes between 6 and 12 weeks to deliver express routes. So, you know, if I look to the perhaps the first work we've done in America, I mean, where you also have a learning curve, and I must say the Indian team of Microsoft really helped me out there, and they really are committed in, you know, helping create, say, the first ASR environment in our American data center. But, you know, for APAC, which we're busy on right now, and EMEA, it's just a matter of, you know, following the runbook we created to speed up ASR and have it developed there. So
the actual solution was very easy to use. It was just getting the actual infrastructure from the third.
Exactly. Okay. And I must say that if you look from the automation perspective, right, where basically it is as simple as pushing a button. A little child can do it, right? And that's powerful. And if you look to the incredible technology which is behind it, enabling this, I must say that you know, Microsoft has done a wonderful job there for ASR. And basically, for every service provider or customer, it would be, you know, stupid not to use it. Because, as I said earlier, you know, the rich functionality in ASR, when you have the data replicated anyhow, you can do whatever you like, right? And that's very powerful.
Yeah, I think he likes ASR, which is good, because we like it as well. And having used it myself, it is just very, very simple to get going. The dependencies on on-premises infrastructure is relatively minimal. It's easy and quick to get going, and the power it gives you is just very, very flexible indeed.
And one more remark. If you look to, say, all the library which is available, right, in ASR, and if you look at the PowerShell code, which people can use, so they're very easy in, you know, having some changes done and then speed up the implementation. So it's very powerful.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you. That's all we've got time for. Thanks to the team.
You,
thanks to Dick. Thanks for Joel for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you found that useful. And make sure you check out the rest of the sessions this week, all about availability on demand. Don't forget the sticker, because there's lots more on Channel 9, and you'll see more in the future as well. So thank you very much. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again.
Thank you.